It's always dangerous to have fizzy water when you preach because you can burp on the microphone. It's fine, I'll take my chance. Okay. JJ, were you? JJ brought the word in worship and I've been praying it through and I'm taking a chance here, but yeah, can you want to share that?
Okay, so there's a scene in Lord of the Rings. Those who watch Lord of the Rings, there's one scene about the old kings that were forgotten or was given up, and they've been stuck in this tomb, and you just see the crowds with cobwebs, and they're sort of this forgotten royal kinghood. And I said a picture of that there are some that were called to leadership, they were called to amazing, like a real a significant position to direct and all those kind of things. And I just got a sense that during the worship, there was part of the worship, but actually there was a song that went on about just getting back to our first love, And I just got a sense of there are some here which had amazing prophecies of their lives that just forgotten about it. And that there's a sense during worship that God wants to breathe that back into life, almost like breathing life into the valley of the dry bones, and that there's just this army just raising up. And part of that army, there were kings there were leaders, there were commanders, there were significant positions that God has called to walk into and breathe new life into those areas. And just another scene in that movie, later on you see there was this one particular king that was also in that zone, totally just dull. And then Holy Spirit came and he got delivered, and it was a complete breakthrough, and suddenly you just see color coming over that king's face, and suddenly rising up, and authority is rising up. And I just got a sense there's dormant. I almost like sense like the men as well. I sense like men that were called to high positions, to speak, to really lead and rule. I got a sense of there's God's breathing life into those hearts and breathing new passion and new excitement and sense of purpose. And not allowing life to actually take hold of them and keeping them dormant, but having a new sense of purpose in God's kingdom.
Thanks, JJ. You guys enjoy those kinds of movies? Action movies, war movies. Huh? I love them. And that lines up with what I want to say. Because most of us love, most of those action movies has some kind of military theme. In the background, it could even be an alien movie, but there's some army, right? There's always something shaping, and it's always very exciting. And most of us have probably not been in the army. If you're under 50 here, I want to venture a guess that you haven't been to the army. Would that be a true statement? So there's only about a handful of us here that have been in the army. I'm 50 now. I just missed it. I was actually called up to Oudtshoorn, and then I got into university, and so by the time I got out of university, conscription was a thing of the past. But I realized that I'm missing something. You know, they call that those 2 years. I don't speak from first-hand experience, but they say the best 2 years of your life that you never want to have over, right? You know, and I realized that there was a discipline that I'm lacking, like a military kind of discipline as a young man growing up, and that kind of order and authority. So for me, I studied nature conservation, as most of you know, and oceanography. But I did that because I wanted to become part of those park rangers, you know, and the discipline that goes along with that, and the lifestyle that goes along with that. I was part of the anti-poaching units and, you know, up early training hard. And I welcomed that because I knew that I didn't have that. There was a lacking thing. And these days, I don't know if that's a big thing anymore, but often I see people, I'm like, bro, you should have gone to the army. And it's rich coming from me because I didn't go to the army. But I can see that lack of discipline or ja meneer, recht meneer, kind of attitude. But I needed that disciplined structure. I like those kinds of army movies because it kind of detaches us from our everyday life, right? In a little bit. And that's interesting, because if I read my Bible, life is not that different. Reality is not that different. In fact, we are at war. We are at war. And we have been in a war throughout history. We have been in that war. There's lots of scriptures here tonight. I have lots of scriptures lined up. Nikki has like pages and pages. I'm not going to use all of them. So try and keep up with me in terms of this. I'm going to paint a picture. But Paul writes to Timothy and he says, fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Now that is not, let's have a cup of coffee talk. That is fighting talk. Fight the good fight of faith. Luke 11 verse 23, Jesus is speaking. And it says, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually against me. That is confrontational. That is picking a fight. That is not, hey, can we just all hold hands and love each other? You know, I believe the best of. Okay, love does believe the best of. Paul said that, and that's from God. And this is God speaking. Same God. But this is drawing a line. If you're not fully with me, you are against me by default. You don't even have to choose to be against me. If you're not choosing to be with me, you are against me. That's what he's saying. And that's a sobering message for us. Some of us go, oh, I'll see how it goes, you know, fence sitting, and let's look at how the odds turn out, and then we'll make a decision. Jesus is saying, no, if you're not for me, you are against me. So that's fighting talk. Most of us know Ephesians 6. I want to read verse 10 to 13. Can we read that? All right. Now, this is Paul giving all kinds of instructions. And then he gives one of his final big instructions. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Does that sound comfortable or cozy? That's confrontational, right? Take your stand, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil, even in the heavenly realms. But there is a struggle, our struggle. Not whatever you want to call it, to be comfortable. Not our cup of coffee we're having with people. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. There's a resistance. There's a standing your ground. There's an opposing. There's a you shall not pass. Kind of, sure, there's lots of Lord of the Rings references here. Did not plan that. But it's military talk. And you see, that's in the Bible. It's military talk. It's not necessarily polite and politically correct. Stand and hold your ground. The thing about war is you're on your toes when you're in a war. You are vigilant. You are alert. You are quick to respond. Afrikaans has such a good word for it called paraat. Have you heard? Paraat, not parrot. Claire is loving. It's a real word. There was even a magazine in the army called Paratus. Yeah. To be parat. I checked them. I wasn't in the army, but I saw the magazine. But in a war, we have casualties. War is not glamorous. Some movies glamorize war. It is horrible. And you might think, yeah, okay, but that if you think of like a Second World War kind of movie, yeah. But how many broken lives are around us? How many scars do we have in this room? Hurts, pasts, tears. Those are wounds of war. Those are casualties of war. How many casualties are there? The people from this congregation that's not here tonight, are we worried about them? How many casualties of war will we have this year? How many units will we not be able to get to because they're behind enemy lines and we couldn't reach them? War is horrible, and we're in one. Broken families, divorces, confused people, People confused about themselves, what's real, people falling away. When you're in war, you don't get involved in civilian life. As a civilian, you can do lots. You can plan when you want to go to the movies. You can plan when you want to eat. You can plan when you want to train. But on active duty, you cannot. It's a very rigid thing. You cannot go on holiday unless you get leave. You cannot be AWOL. You can't be absent without leave. That was told in the movies. That's a very bad thing always. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3. Paul understands this very well. And he writes to Timothy, and he tells him, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So he's telling him, be like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Not just an enlisted soldier, because sometimes you see these YouTube clips of people in the army and they're not really that disciplined or they don't march really well. Have you seen those? People look kind of out of shape. They're in the army, but they're not a good soldier. Paul is encouraging Timothy to be a good soldier here. And then he says, endure hardships with us. So share in suffering. Share in suffering. It's tough. It's going to be hard. This was, 2 Timothy was Paul's last letter that's in the Bible that made the canon. It's the last letter that got into the Bible. So this is shortly before his death. So his last, almost most poignant messages are in these passages, because he knows he's going to die. What are the last things he could tell Timothy and the world before he dies? So these words have weight, and he speaks about this. So Paul is telling Timothy that he's at war, that we are at war. There's a war going on. And it's fine if you don't know that there's a war going on. You'll just go happily along, or if you don't know that you're in danger. I remember when I was a park ranger, I did this guided walk through the bush. And it was a couple of tourists came with me, and we were walking through the bush. And they were walking and stepping on sticks and, you know, swish-swashing through the bush and speaking loudly. And eventually I was like, okay, guys, try keep it down, because last night the lions were on this area. And the people didn't know that there were lions at all. And they were like, are there lions in here? Are they lions? Yeah. Like, they wanted to just disappear, you know. They thought we were walking in a safe area. You know, I don't know, maybe Europe, most of the areas have less lions, probably. So they thought we were going for a walk and we'll see pretty things, but they didn't know that they actually now, they could be on the menu, you know. So they went from la-di-da to like, and like carefully walking as if that would help, you know. But the change from realizing that they could be in danger, that they could be in someone's sights, something's sights, that change of thought made them super alert. Like then you could just do this. If I do this too quickly, they would completely, like, do we need to run? You know? There was another time where this was a friend of ours, me and another guy, we were walking, and I said, okay, there was an American couple with us. I said, if I say go, we just turn and run. So we're in the bush, and they're like looking at the trees, and myself, we say, go. And we just turn, and we ran as fast as we can, thinking that they might think that we're getting charged by something. The lady just went limp. She just went, she just fell. She just flopped down, like quivering. She couldn't run. She literally went lame from the fear of there's danger now, you know. It was hilarious, but wasn't good for making friends. Yeah. But the thing is, you change when you realize you're in enemy territory. And because we are at war, we are in enemy territory. And one of the biggest tricks that Satan can do is to make us think that we're not. That is what he does. He's the great deceiver. And we might not like it. Well, it doesn't fit in with my lifestyle. It doesn't fit in with my plan for my life. It's just uncomfortable to be alert, to look around, to have situational awareness. Doesn't matter. If it's true, it's true. If it's true, it's true. Go look in the Bible. Look at the Word. Satan is great at camouflage. Great. You think he's not here. But he's probably never far away. I think his soldiers are always around. You have to be careful. And a distracted soldier is a dangerous soldier because he gets in trouble or she gets in trouble. Do not get distracted by civilian affairs. So that's my one point. We are at war. The other point that I want to say, and this is a little bit more encouraging for maybe some of us, but this is it. We are in the army. So there's a war, but it's not like, okay, the war is happening and we may be in the crossfire. We are in the actual army. Okay, if you are here and you belong to this church or you said you're a Christian, then you are in the army. If you're here and you're not, I'm going to give an opportunity later if you want to be, because if you see there's a fight out there, you're going to want to pick a side. And if you don't choose, like Jesus said, if you're not with me, you are against me. We are in the army. We are soldiers. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Military talk. As Christians, yes, we often speak about this is the family of God. I'm a son or a daughter in the house. God is the good father. That's kind of, we talk like that all the time. Sometimes we even say we are a body together and all parts of the body must work together. It's all true. It's all right. Sometimes the church gets referred to as a temple, the temple of God. Sometimes we get referred to as servants of God, even slaves of God in the right translations, ambassadors of Christ, but also soldiers. Also soldiers. So it's cool to think I'm a son in the house. I'm in the family. We're a fellowship of believers. But we're also soldiers in a platoon. It's good to have the tension between these pictures. I'm not saying the one is wrong. I'm saying it's that and. Does it make sense? Is that okay? This is definitely a big part of it. And I think we've kind of ignored it a little bit. If we say, okay, let's sit down to meet, it would be good in that moment to think, okay, we're in the army and that's a platoon. And a corporal or a sergeant has said, Trian, we're coming down, and we sit down. Not, okay, let me just finish this cup of coffee, or, oh, I forgot my coffee, let me quickly go get my coffee. No, because now you've been called to order, in a sense. And other times, it's, oh, we're a family, you know? Does it make sense what I'm saying about that? There's a time, like, just learn to discern when you are what. That's maybe a good one. Okay, I want to get back to 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 4. It's a suffering soldier scripture, but I want to read more of it. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Are we living to please our commanding officer? Share in suffering. We all can read it, but it's not a nice thing to, you know, I've never seen that on the fridge. You know, you've seen, I can endure all things, or I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but it actually, the word says, endure all things, you know. So as a soldier, there are going to be hardships. If you get attacked in a war, which soldier is ever surprised if he's shot at? He's in a war and he's a soldier. But we, when we get shot at, we go, oh, why is this happening to me? Because you're a soldier and you're in the army. That's why it's happening to you. You know, even sometimes friendly fire. You know, friendly fire happens. I can't come back to this church because that person said something rude or I think they did something. Friendly fire. Deal with it. Don't, like, expect it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Nobody does it maliciously. It's one of those things. Paul speaks about share in suffering. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised by those things. Let's live to please the one that we're enlisting to. We are a bride. Sean had this beautiful message about we are the bride helping ourselves coming down the aisle. Remember that word when Sean Bradseth was here? Beautiful word. Yes, we are a bride. Yes, we're a child running to a father's arm, but we're a soldier to a commander as well. We need to think like that. Also, know that you're not alone. You're part of a platoon. You're part of an army. And the strength of the army is in how big the army is. It's in the mass of the army. So you're not alone. You are part of a church. You're part of community. We have all kinds of bodies for that. But you're not alone. Don't feel alone about it. And unity is strength. 1 Corinthians 2:12, it speaks about the body has many parts. So you're part of a body. If you feel like you are a sniper or a recce or something living alone, you're missing out on what God has for you. God wants you to be in a platoon, a brotherhood. I've seen those movies, I believe it to be true. Those units, they become closer than brothers because they fight wars together. And we are at war. We can become closer than brothers because we can fight wars together. All right. So, we're at war and we're in the army. But who are we at war with? Who is our biggest enemy? Fred, when he spoke the stewardship teaching, he mentioned the enemy. Did you pick that up? He said the enemy. Hey, Fred. And this is the thing, because Ephesians 6 speaks about our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's about against the powers, principalities of this dark world. Yes, it is. Absolutely. And that's good. And we must put on the armor for that. That is important. We must do that. But I want to talk about something that's more dangerous than that. Because here's a statement, and I'm quoting John, not quoting, but John Piper said this, and I believe him. Or I agree with him. Let me put it that way. I agree with him. Those things, those principalities, those demons, even Satan cannot get you to hell. They cannot get you to hell. They don't have the power. They were not given the power. Only God has the power overall to decide that. But who can trip you up? Ourselves. Our own flesh. The only person that will get me to hell is Jacques. Jacques can get me to hell. For those who don't know, my name is Jacques. So, not someone else here. Are you at war? I'll just ignore that. Thank you. Are you at war with your desires, with your flesh, the things that you want, the things you think for yourself, the things you indulge in? Because the only proper attitude towards our flesh, the things we want, the selfishness, what we think to get for ourselves, the only right attitude is to declare war on that, to be at war with that, more than principalities and interceding against some spirit in Cape Town or whatever it is. It's about war with yourself. You have control over yourself. Only you can do that. Others can't do that for you. Often we cherish our problems. I'm still struggling with this. Of course there are struggles. But the struggle almost becomes an idol sometimes. I'm still struggle harder. If it's a struggle, then struggle. Don't just own and grow this little thing, okay? Struggle harder. You know, we talk about our problems. Are we fighting them? Are we at war with them? You know, the things, our lack of discipline, our lack of control, everything against the fruit of the Spirit, you know? Anger, frustrations, selfishness, impatience, greed for money, love of self, wanting affirmation. Where's the list of the stuff? I had a lot of them. Are we making war? Have we declared war in our hearts against all of those things? And are we like sniffer dogs sniffing, is there anything else that I can eradicate in my life, in my heart? Satan is the great deceiver. The word says so, right? And we have to be careful of him. One of my biggest fears is being deceived. But Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, but the heart is deceitful above all else. who can understand it. Above all else, your heart. Forget Satan in this context. Worry about your heart. Do you know how to wage war on yourself? Read the manual. It's in your hands. Yeah. That's the manual for war. Christian life should be violent. It shouldn't be just nice and friendly. It should be vicious, confrontational, violent. Against what? Only yourself. It should be violent against yourself, not against any other person, not against any other people. If you get hurt, attacked by other people, your war is not against them. Your war is against your own desires. You sort yourself out. That's what the fight is against. As I said, spiritual warfare, like in Ephesians 6, that's good. We must do that. But the more important thing is fighting our own sin. It's much more important to fight sin than to try to fight Satan. Where am I now? Romans, how much time have I got? There's a beautiful section of scripture in Romans. It's quite long, but Paul explains it so well. So I want to take the time to read this. Romans 7, verse 14. Okay, so pay attention. This is Paul speaking. Okay. He starts and he says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Can you see this battle? The battle with yourself. "Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body." In the members of my body. How's that? "Waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God," here's the good news, "through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." Okay, we're going to go on to the next, to Romans 8. 8 verse 1 and 2. There you go. "Therefore," that follows right on. It's not, there's nothing in between. "Therefore," for all those things we just said, "therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." That's the preach right there. Paul is wrestling with this, the sin in him, and that he can't do anything about it, and he needs to war with this. Then Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Put to death. Kill. If you kill your sin, it's a violent statement. It's not like, okay, let's just be quiet. This is a violent thing. It says, put to death the misdeeds of your body. It's a crucial. It is, you need to kill this. You know? I'm not going to ask how many of you have killed something. But it's normally violent. Definitely for the one getting killed. You know? There's violence involved when you kill something. So it's not this matter of, okay, I'm just going to try and be kind. Be ruthless with yourself, like Boaz before he met Ruth. Little joke. Okay. All right. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. What he can prowl around for is your flesh. If he doesn't smell flesh, he won't smell you. He's going after flesh. I have stories of that from the bush, but I do not have time for that. So how do we train? If we're in an army, if we are at war, if we have to be violent and at war with our sin and kill sin in us, how do we strengthen them? How do we become better soldiers? The same way any soldier does, by training. So how do we train? How do we become a stronger soldier? I want to just quickly list some of the characteristics of a strong soldier, okay? I'm just going to pop through these and you can jot them down or think about them. But just quickly, a good soldier is loyal to his king and the kingdom. He heeds his commanding officer, not involved in civilian affairs. He is responsive and obedient. He trains, he practices, and he becomes skilled, or she. They're devoted. Their identity is in the army. Like, I'm not a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. Your identity in that. And that Path Through Position course, it's going to explain to us how God sees us. That's what it does. Your identity in him. A good soldier recruits others to the army. He knows the army needs to grow. Remain steadfast under an attack. Good soldier is never absent without leave. It's a taboo. You're always there. He gets his strength from his commanding officer on high. So let God strengthen you by the power of the Spirit. Good soldier is disciplined and is willing to endure discomfort. Most of us, I know me, I avoid discomfort as much as I can. It's just, I think most of us do that, but we have a very comfortable society. Okay, I want to show you something. This is a real blurb or advertisement for quite a popular church. Like, I'm going to read this. This is how they punt themselves and put themselves out there. Casual atmosphere, comfortable spaces, friendly people to help you around, cool music, video, good media, relevant topical messages, great kids' facilities, cool, chilled coffee shop, relaxed comfort zone with nice things to eat, fun evenings. Learn how special you are to God, whoever you are. Sounds like a nice church, huh? Okay. Now I want to read you the code of the Marine Corps. Loyalty to country, team, teammates, serve with honor and integrity on and off the battlefield. Ready to lead, ready to follow, never to quit. Take responsibility for your actions and actions of your teammates. Excel as warriors through discipline and innovation. Train for war, fight to win, defeat our enemies, earn your trident every day. I'm sure it was more in like a loyalty to country. Team, teammates, serve with honor, you know. I didn't do a very good job of all that, but which one sounds more biblical? Of a church that says they're a happening Christian church and the Marine Corps, the U.S. Marine Corps. Which one is more attractive? Which one is more soothing? Am I willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and internal glory to Christ Jesus? It's a question. Am I willing, you can ask yourself this, am I willing to endure anything if it will bring glory to Christ Jesus and to those God has chosen? Okay, 2 Timothy 2, verse 10 to 12. This is what Paul wrote about that. I'll take this translation. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. That sounds more like the Marine Corps slogan than the previous church one, right? This is the Bible. When Jesus preached, he wasn't trying to get people through popular words and clever words. He was trying to get rid of people. He was literally saying, you know, unless you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you'll have no part of me. People left. And he asked his disciples, aren't you also going? He was trying to get rid of people in a sense. If you understand what I'm saying, he wanted the people that really know why they're there and that they're committed to him. He wanted those loyal people. Are we willing to endure hardships as a soldier? I'm going to jump some stuff. Okay. Guys, we're in the army of God. And we're part of something much bigger than we can see. And spiritually what happened, we spoke to, when we prayed for the pre-prayer meeting here. We have a pre-prayer meeting normally or sometimes. And I just felt to encourage everybody because every prayer mattered. Spiritually, lots of things happen, guys, when you pray. We're part of something bigger than we see. Have you seen the Mission Impossible movies? Yeah, okay. Somewhere in the beginning of the movie, there's also always this voice on a little tape or somewhere, and it says, your mission, should you choose to accept it. Nah? Your mission, should you choose to accept it. So, we get a mission in Matthew 28:19. And it goes, your mission, should you choose to accept Jesus, is go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Your mission, should you choose to accept it in this army that is at war. Can we stand? Dan, hop! Some guys jump, I like it. I miss my calling as a corporal. Let's just think about that. Can you close your eyes, please? And I want to read another scripture to you. Paul writing again, one of his last sentences. With that in mind, with the Great Commission in mind, go and make disciples in Matthew. Paul writes this. He says, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at bringing others to Christ. Complete the ministry God has given you. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, you showing us, Lord, we're in the army now. Thank you for these instructions, Lord. This mission that as we accept you, we accept this mission, Lord, to go and make disciples. And like Paul writes, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at bringing others to Christ. Complete the ministry God has given us. Lord, I pray that you will help us to complete the ministry, to complete our missions, Lord, because we are at war, Lord. I want to say that if you're here and you're not part of this army I've been speaking of, you don't belong to Christ. You've not yet given your life to him. You've not enlisted yet.